Welcome to the Dork Forest. Jackie and her pals will never bore us. Shameless confessions
about our obsessions
will make us laugh and smile. So let's explore the Dork Forest and dork out for a while.
Hi, Rangers. It's me, Jackie Cation. Welcome to the Dork Forest. It's 2024. Let's do this. Here's the credits, of course. Mike Rickberg sang that song at the beginning, and he wrote that song, and he sang it with Sarah Cohen, his wife. And he will sing the Mexican Hat Dance at the end of the program. Also, Patrick Brady, still putting this together. Video, audio, all of it. He's amazing. So, and Vilmos doing JackieCationStore.com. Squarespace is doing the regular Jackie Cation page, and I'm thinking of moving the Dork Forest and DorkForest.com away from WordPress because it's driving me nuts. But those are the credits. But if you go to JackieCation.com, you can get Dork Forest merch. You can get my stand-up merch. You can get my stand-up CDs and DVDs, which you'd have to have devices for those. You can also see videos and find out any number of things. I have another podcast called The Jackie and Laurie Show, but The Dork Forest is the flagship. 18th year, we're doing it, you guys. You can go to my Bandcamp or my YouTube for extra content. Please donate, is what I'm saying. It's 2024, and I think we've been in this long enough. Why don't you guys, everybody send me $100? That's what I'd like you to do. You can PayPal me. There's links all over the pages. You can Venmo me at Jackie Cation. You can find me at a stand-up show and hand me a sweaty wad of 20s. Do something. But I love doing the show. I would love to make some money, is what I'd like to do. In other news, I'm sure there's more things that I should talk about, but I can't think of them. But let's listen to who's going to dork out about something, because that's my favorite part. Thanks for listening, you guys. You're all great. Let's get into the show. It's me, Jackie Cation. I am in my living room. Actually, why do I keep saying that? I'm actually in my garage because my mother-in-law is in my living room. So I am in my garage office and have been, lo, these 2 years. So know in your hearts, Rangers, that we're dorking out today. Who are we dorking out with? Stand-up comic, Sierra Cato?
Perfect.
Did I do it right?
Oh, yeah. Kato. It's spelled like Katao, so it's right. The temptation is there, but it's Kato, but the W was added in some sort of move into America situation maybe a century ago.
The bastards. So, you should. The love the it. Way they massacred my grandfather's name. Holy smokes. So it's Kato, but it's spelled K-A-T-O-W. And Sierra is spelled like Sierra. And you have a new special out that's on all the streamings on demand. It's called Funt. Which probably rhymes with that C word. And you may have seen her on PBS's Roots of Comedy with Jesus Trejo, which I believe I'm pronouncing. But there's also all your Instagram and all the things are at Sierra Cato. And there is a SierraCato.com.
Oh, you bet. Yeah. Yeah. I pay yearly for that domain name. All the info
live
is
it
there.
Up. All of it's there. More than enough. So Rangers, we're going to be talking. I kind of want to talk about Disneyland because I want to go to Disneyland.
Ooh.
And this is a way that I cannot go to Disneyland, but sort of go to Disneyland. Let's talk to you, Sierra, about your love of Disneyland. Did you grow up here?
Oh my gosh. Yes.
You've been
I did
a lot
grow
of
up
times
in LA. So yeah, I think there was locality, you know, I wasn't in Orange County or Anaheim, so my cousins right. lived in Irvine. So they were like popping over on the bus a lot.
Yeah.
So I didn't have that close proximity, but I was here and my family is all from LA as well, like my parents and grandparents. So my claim to fame is my dad went to Disneyland when he was 5 and on the first year it opened, which is so hilarious.
That is amazing. That's amazing to have gone to something because it's freaking iconic. And here's what I've always loved about Disneyland. They want all the money. So they're inclusive. And they're just like, everybody has jobs. We would like all the money. So we're not going to be horrible. There's going to be a gay day. There's not going to be any segregation. We're going to do what we can for everybody and their grandmother. Because everybody has $400 that they're willing to save up and go to Disneyland.
I mean, you got it. Mm-hmm. You know, mentally, you always want to be in Disneyland. But yes, it costs a pretty penny.
Yeah, it's gone up
and
a
it's
lot
gotten
lately,
only
right?
more expensive. Yeah, and like I've never been an annual pass holder or a magic key holder. There, again, I'm sure everybody encounters this on Dork Forest. is that, like, you know, the levels of dorkery go up to infinity, and I am certainly not, I cannot claim to be, you know, at the highest echelon of Disneyland fandom.
You know what? It's just enthusiasm. Yes.
Sure.
It's enthusiasm. It isn't, you don't have to, you know, when someone is super, hey guys, go back, listen to Taylor talk about first person shooters, and the most chilling moment in his first person shooter video game episode of the Dork Forest is when I asked Taylor if he was ever in the service, and Taylor said, almost. Guess how creepy that sounds, Taylor.
Oh, boy.
As I said to him, I was like, Tay-Tay, you're creeping me out, brother. Anyway, sure, so sure. So I like enthusiasm. It was chilling.
Yeah.
And I love Taylor.
Shiver down the spine. Yeah, no, that's
right.
Good.
What do you
good
mean?
To get those moments.
Almost. Okay. Anyway, so what was the first time you were there since you grew up here?
Oh, boy. Yeah. I mean, I think I have recollection of going as a child, quite young. I know, for instance, my sister went when she was probably like a little baby, to the point where like, it was really just for my parents to go, you know, just pass the baby off to the grandparents. They go on the rides. So I probably went about that young too. I remember getting in, and this was a thing that I did over the course of time as a child in my family. I always was small. We're small people family.
You're a tiny people?
Okay. Tiny people. So we
but
can
an adorable family. Yes.
Right. Yeah. All fitting into tiny little boxes. But we, you know, I could fool to as being younger. So I think I remember a point at which I was definitely 5 years old getting in as like a baby. And then my sister was 10 getting in as a 5-year old, which, you know, we all kind of shifted downward. And we did this in many ways. So I think probably around 5 or younger for sure. So quite early. And then, you know, we would go and it's only like an hour away. And so that was great. But just the drive there, right? You're looking at Ball Road or something. It's quite an exciting drive and it's improved over the years. But it's just so much buildup. And then you park in the structure.
Right.
If you get there early, that's the thing. You can kind of tell how well your day is going to go by where you park. At least this was the way, because if you got there early in the day, which, you know, ideally we were getting in at like 7 or 8 a.m., right? Because you want to maximize the day.
Right. It opens up at 8, I think. So if you get there, you could park at like 7 or 7:30. Easy.
Yes. And apparently now online, this is called rope dropping. When you get to the park, when they're about to drop the rope, and you run on in and you get, you know, first in line for whatever, Rise of Resistance, whatever favorite ride you're trying to.
Yes.
Of course. Yeah. It's put it in the dictionary, rope dash dropping. And so, yeah, but at the time I didn't know that, but we would always, of course, try to get there as early as possible. You kind of knew by the levels you were parking on. So like the higher up at the time, the higher up level, like if you're on the roof, you're toast. It's like, oh man, you're already, there's stacks of people.
It's super crowded.
You.
Yeah. You're going to be standing in line for hours. Yeah.
Exactly. You're already like missing a chunk in the morning that you could have been, you know, that you're paying for no matter what. So that was a thing, you know, yes. I think it's like Mickey and Friends at the top or whatever, you know, what it's Mickey and Friends. And then they actually added a new parking structure now, because it used to be kind of Mickey and Friends parking structure. And then if you were really late, you're out. And this never happened, but I looked upon them in pity. Anybody who was parking out at Chippendale, whatever, flat lot.
Oh,
but then
now
that's been changed into, there's like a Pixar structure. So if you're displaced into a second
Monsters,
structure.
Inc. Or
yeah you're 3DCG over there.
Yeah, I don't know. Do you know if, and now I'm just going to take the mic out and sort of settle in. I'm fiddly for some reason. Okay, why am I fiddly? Jesus, Jackie. Okay, so very exciting. I want to know, do you know if they expanded Disneyland after the initial land grab? Like there was a land grab and then... Because
at the big,
it feels
right,
like
I'm
there's
sure.
it feels like there's more parking because there's more Disneyland, which means that there's more room for more people, which means we need more parking. Like it's a circle. So is there? Yeah,
yeah. I think they've bought them. You know, they've probably over the years expanded a lot by buying the surrounding. You know, that probably was some small businesses or I don't know who was getting bought up around there, but certainly. And then.
Right, there's
even
probably
now,
some
like,
crime. Very sad.
There's probably, some displacement of people who wanted to be home. And then, there was like, you know, they'd have Star Wars Land, which was a whole chunk added, you know, and if you look at the map, it's like, and it kind of bumps up against like where you're driving in. I feel like it used to be you drive in and you wouldn't really see Disneyland until you're in, but now right. you can kind of see, oh, there's the poke at the back of the Galaxy's Edge poking out right. at you as you're driving in, which is kind of exciting, but also kind of like, ooh, a little peek behind the curtain. And so they must have, and I know they've even bought more, you know, trying to expand California Adventure, of course. And as that's gone on, I know there's kind of more, there was at least intention for a while to do more of like Marvel Land. I don't know what the status is.
I sadly went to Marvel Land the last time I was there, and it's been a bit of a fail.
Not a lot going on.
They didn't commit. They haven't committed like they did to Star Wars, I don't think.
Yeah, and it's tricky because I guess there's so many different lands. Like, I think you just got to pick one and go, right? But it's like they're doing a little bit of Pym's, you know, kitchen or whatever, and then they're doing a little bit of Spider-Man and a little bit of,
They have a hard time picking which, because there's the universe is too big. And so, but if they just, quite honestly, now that you've said that, I would like them, and this nobody's asking, I would like them to just pick all the Spider-Mans.
Sure.
Go with Spider-Verse, go with Spider-Man, and then do some multiverse, and then there could be cameos, and you can branch out from there. But if you started with Spider-Man, which is a perennial favorite from when somebody's a baby until they're a million years old, everybody loves. With great power comes great responsibility. And
so relatable.
And there's Miles Morales, and there's Peter Parker, and then there's Spider-Gwen, and then there's Spider-Ham. Like, I mean, there's everything. Yes. There's enough spiders. There's Spider 2099. You could do it.
Yeah, no, and I think, well, so that's the tough thing, because I do know that Spider-Verse amazing movies, but like, I don't know, what is Disney, does Disney own them yet? You know what I mean? I know it's it was kind of Sony.
Shit.
So it's
correct.
That Spider-Man's in that weird in between.
Yes, it is.
So maybe they couldn't, but
maybe they can't.
I agree, that is cool.
But if they, all right, next up.
But hey,
what else don't they own?
Acquisitions.
They also don't own Hulk completely either. That. And those were the two big faves. So the next one would have to be Iron Man, I think, being the next big fave.
Sure,
and that like, they own that for sure, or maybe just the Avengers. Like if they just went with the original Avengers movie, that might be a place to branch off from. And well, we can't fix it here. That's what I know, Sierra.
But I agree that there's that would be, because I mean, you know, that's where Marvel began, Iron Man and the Avengers, and you know, that's kind of the OG crew. But I guess it's sort of like, what do you get from that? Like the headquarters, and and then
right. Well, Iron Man's house. I know I'm predisposed to like all of it, but I mean, there could be cars, there could be gadgets. That ride. This is a carnival ride. I don't know that Disneyland has this ride in their coterie. The one where it spins real fast and the floor falls out, but it's centrifugal force.
I don't know if they have that. I know what you're talking about as a carnival ride.
Right.
I don't think they have
that. Could
exactly
be an
that.
Iron Man ride because he flies. And because he flies and you're standing super straight. So
you could feel like Iron Man. Yes, that is true. It's good enough for me. I would say California Adventure does a good job of, because they started as, and I have been to this phase of it, as just California, where it was like, well, hey, you know, this was kind of before Disney bought Marvel, obviously Star Wars, like kind of became this IP mogul. They were like just thinking, oh, okay, well, Disneyland's Disney. And then California Adventure is like, you're traveling in from out of state or out of the country, and you want to learn
about
California.
Let's tell you about California.
So funny.
I was at that. It was kind of cool. Yeah. I didn't mind that. Did you?
No, I was just saying, I thought it was a little like too adult. Because I think for the kids, you're like, I don't know if I care about the Golden Gate Bridge or like Napa country, you know? But
you
sure, as an adult, I think it would be fun.
The California's Soaring California, which they've turned into something else. That was
the
best ride. No, they
they've kept, I think.
They kept it, but they changed what they showed. Here's the thing. I saw Soaring California, and I finally realized how big California was. Like, I literally, it took us, like, from San Diego through the deserts into Central Valley, into the ocean, into like the cliffs, whatever they're called, and then up to San Francisco, and then over to the Yosemite, and then up to like Crescent City, where it's just a bunch of Yahoos at a Walmart, and then Oregon, and like it just there's Humboldt and a bunch of weed, and it had smell-o-vision, if you remember,
right.
Like it went over the orange fields,
the oranges, yeah. Visceral memory. Yes. No, yes. That was brilliant. And I do. Yeah. I think they've changed it to more like soaring over the world now.
Yeah.
I don't know if California comes back at any point, but.
Right. It is soaring over the world and the world is lovely. But here's what I learned. Here's what I learned. I learned why my husband doesn't care about Wisconsin. This is what I've learned. He's like, okay, we have large lakes. We have mountains.
Yeah.
You don't have any mountains. We have woods. What else do you need? He's like, we have that. And I was like, you want snow? We have that. Because I tell him how pretty Wisconsin is. And he's like, yeah, we could just go a couple hours. California has that. And I was like, okay, fair enough. You guys got it all. I get it. Anyway, but I did like California. So what was your... Did you always go with your parents or did you ever get to go alone? Like, were you get to go as a teenager person?
Yeah, I did with friends sometimes because one of my friends in, I think, elementary school and middle school was her aunt owned, I believe, the Crystal Shop on Main Street. So she would get free tickets. So sometimes we would tag along with her. Or sometimes I would go with my older sister. And, you know, those are good times, I think. Much, much more fun to go as a rogue teenager.
Yes.
I'm sure that I think there's a supervision something now. Right. I imagine, I don't know if that wasn't in place before, if we were supervised by one person and then they kind of just let us go, you know.
There's something about going with your parents where you don't want to say, no, I just want to ride this ride over and over and over again because I want to grow up and be this.
Sure.
Like you're just like, I want to ride.
I want to be the orange groves. Yes.
I just want to ride that rocket ship that goes around like Dumbo.
Oh, classic. Yes. Yeah. Yes. It's basically Machine Dumbo.
It's Machine Dumbo. And it's my favorite. And I, last three times I've gone, I have gone with people that it isn't their favorite. And the line is always long because it's really good for kids. Okay. And I have never been able to go, well, let's just stand in line anyway. I felt bad. So I haven't gone on it in like three times. The world's full of injustices. And if that's the worst I have, I win.
Sure. But hey, that's a cool favorite. Like that's a unique pick. I feel like most people won't pick that one. So that's a fun, good representation. Shout out to that ride.
What are your favorites?
Oh, I mean, honestly, Indiana Jones has been a favorite of mine for a while.
Yeah.
It's been everything there
the whole time. Like 25 years, the whole thing.
For a while. And the whole time. Yeah, I I think it's got the excitement and the story and you know, a little bit of both, right? I feel like sometimes you're either going full, you know, Space Mountain like roller coaster time or you're getting fun story, but that one kind of combines the two.
And the line story. Disney invented the line story.
That's true.
Which other people have done to some extent almost as good or not as good. But everyone's been like, yeah, you're going to stand in line for an hour. Let there be a story of why we're in line.
Yes, they do. And they do a great job of that, Indiana Jones. And, you know, I don't know if you've ever been in Toontown, which they redid a bit. There's now something called Mickey's Runaway Railway.
No.
And it is amazing. Like I would say in the same way that, have you been on the Rise of the Resistance in the Galaxy's Edge Star Wars land?
Yes. Yes,
I
have.
The big one, right? So that one's amazing, right? Like you go in and there's basically like actors, the cast members are part of the wait and they're directing you where to stand. And then there's kind of like a mini waiting time where which is kind of part of the story. And then you get into the car. So Mickey's Runaway Railway kind of has that too. Like the line is fun. There's stuff to look at. And then once you're in, there's like a mini, I don't want to spoil it for anyone. So there's kind of like two stages of waiting and it's incorporated into the story. And I think
that's
another new one.
Okay.
And it seems similar technology to Rise of the Resistance. So I am a huge fan of that right now. And the only reason I realize that it was there because it seems like, oh, Toontown, little kids. But it was like a long wait. Anna has a lightning feature? Lane.
Yeah.
Yeah, like on the app and everything to get skip the thing. So I was like, oh, this must be pretty good because it seems pretty popular. And right. Sure enough, it is.
Here's, okay, let us take a quick break to say these words that I'm with Sierra Cateau. Yep, Cateau. There we go. Nope,
yes,
Cateau.
Yes.
Nope, Cateau.
Yeah, yeah. Either, Cateau's great. It's, I mean, it's just the toe part that I'm
trying that you're trying to get across.
Get in there, but
it's Cation. Yeah, with me, with the Cation, it's all about the shin. Mm-hmm. When people ethnic it up and go Cashian or Cashian, right. But if they say Cashian or some other, I'm just psyched about whatever. You guys go to Sierra's Instagram and watch her show called Funk and Funt. And I'm going to turn into a melted animal right
perfect.
Here.
All
right. Here's what I want you to actually explain to people, because this does get confusing when you go to Disneyland now, which is the lightning and the app and all of that, because you kind of have to do it. If you don't do it, it doesn't work as well. So there is an app. It's the Disneyland app. Your tickets are on that app, correct?
Yes, yes. You can scan your ticket
when
on that app.
When was the last time you went?
Oh,
have you gone this year yet?
Question.
Or it's only like month four.
Yeah, I think I haven't gone this year yet, but I think I went fall of last year. So,
you kind of remember how to use the
somewhat recent.
Yeah. So you download the app and on your phone. And it's got a lot of things that happen. Tell the people so it's a Disneyland app.
Right. Yeah, maybe I'll pull up for refresher too. But yeah, basically it's got everything. It's kind of like, so back in the day, right, used to be like paper tickets, and then you would have to download something called like Mouse Wait, if that was like a third party app to tell you if you wanted, like, you're in Tomorrowland and you want to know what's going on in you know, Toontown Wait, right? So you don't have to walk all that way. If you have Mouse Wait, you can see the line. So then Disneyland was obviously like, oh, we gotta make our own app.
Right.
We got to get on
this.
So
what a good idea. Allow us to do that.
Yeah. And yeah, so they have all the wait times. And so basically, and then what Lightning Lane is. So basically, I think they call it like a Magic Genie or Genie Plus.
Oh, right, right.
So it's kind of an additional fee on top of what's already quite expensive tickets.
Yes.
So,
knowing your heart, but
then
it's kind of
you're
worth
like,
it.
You're like, I'm already spending hundreds of dollars.
Yeah,
so
it's
what's $300 or whatever?
Here's 35 yeah. bucks a person. For essentially the lightning tickets, and it's sort of like you'd have to go get it
fast pass.
It's like that kind of
right. It's windows of time where you're reserving a spot in the lightning lane, formerly known as fast pass. The artist formerly known as fast pass, and you go, you know, so say it's something like Space Mountain, very popular. You go at the beginning of the day, and you see there's like already a 2-hour wait. So then you look on your little lightning lane thing, and then it says, oh, actually, you know, sure, it's like 10 a.m. now, but at 1:40 p.m. to 2:40 p.m., you can get a lightning lane pass. So, right. And then that keeps jumping. So, because they probably only allot however many tickets or lightning lane allottees. So then when you get it, you can return at 1:40 in that window, whatever, and then, you know, go in the faster lane line. So you don't have to wait in the standby, and it's really worth it. And then, you know, they run out, right? So as the day progresses, if it's already 6 p.m., most of the popular rides are probably all done.
Right.
For the
they've
day
sold
for
those out. And then what about single riders? Is that something trick?
Another great trick for skipping the line. So if you are going in and you're like, you know, you're a big fan of the rocket ships and no one wants to go with you. But I don't think, unfortunately, rocket ships should have a single rider
line. Except for
but it's typically rides, that have like
Indiana Jones,
like
I think
odd
does.
Numbers.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah, yeah. Yeah, they do. That's true. It's like with multiple seats, and it's sort of, I mean, for instance, California Adventure does a really good job of this. So like the Cars ride, that's an amazing ride too. That's one of my favorites.
Okay.
They have like six people per car. So oftentimes, say a couple goes in, they need one more person on their row because there's three people
three and
per
three.
Row. So they pull from the single rider. So honestly, I've never gone on Cars. I've never done Standby Lane Cars ride because, you know, even with you and your friends, you get in the single rider line, you guys get in right away. You might be in the same car. Like sometimes it works out where you sit next to each other even.
Right. You don't have to sit next to people unless you have small children. You know, once you hit a certain once you hit a certain age, you're like, no, no, we're all on the ride. I don't care.
Yeah, who cares?
If the that I'm not going to buy is with me behind you, in front of you, or two rows back. It can't possibly matter. But yeah, I like, I like the single rider thing. I like the lightning thing. Here's the thing that's weird with the app is that if you want to sit down and have a meal, you have to order food on the app. You have to sort of make a reservation.
They really demand that.
Yeah, that's a new thing where you can't even just get in. You can buy from the carts, but then you're having a churro.
Sure.
And I don't want a churro.
They smell really good.
Sure. I want two bites of a churro. Thank you very much.
Sure, sure. They're long. They're like 18 inches or something.
I don't need it. I don't need a lot of churro in my life. So, but yeah, so you can do, you can reserve dining.
Yeah, they do the food.
And
you could do that. Link photos. Oh, yeah. Speaking of photos, even if you don't want to buy it, they do give you the digital download for free. So if you do get a nice photo of yourself, you can get, you can just type in the little code and then you get it on your, you know, just one that you can easily
just
post.
Oh, right. Because they want you to post.
You like that?
Because sadly, just not enough people are going to Disneyland. So Indiana Jones.
You need more money.
Right. So Indiana Jones has three choices, right? When you go, when you get in. I've never been able to really tell the difference between them because they all have the same, they all try to keep it together. There's a big Temple of Doom vibe to it, which is so funny because it was the least popular movie.
Interesting.
But it, like, because Crusade.
Make that connect.
Right. And the Last Crusade, not represented at all, very sadly. What if I wanted the Holy Grail? What about that? Why don't they add that to it?
Good luck.
I know. Dial of Destiny? I want to meet Archimedes.
I know.
Did you get to see Dial of Destiny?
Oh, you bet. Yeah, yeah. Disney Plus. Watched it. There it is.
It's pretty dumb. I've seen it a couple of times on the back of a chair on the airplane.
I mean, Kingdom of the Crystal Skull, right? Also I watched that in theaters.
I saw that one in the theater as well before I realized that things have gone terribly awry. Except for that they haven't, because Spielberg has never said anything except that it was an after, like it was a, it was based on those shitty shorts from the 30s and 40s where it wasn't realistic. The guys hiding in a refrigerator from a nuclear bomb. That would happen in fiction. You know, Dial of Destiny, Harrison Ford punches four Nazis. He's 76. Every single one of those Nazis falls to the ground. That is fiction. Okay. So I like the sentiment. Anyway, so do you know what the three are?
Oh, okay. Testing my, I think for sure there's one where it's basically about, wealth. One, I think you get unlimited gold, and then one is like youth, I think. And then what's the third one?
Oh, then that is the Holy Grail, the youth one.
Is that right? Oh, okay. Okay. Yeah. So it's based around that. Yeah. You're not supposed to stare into the eyes, and then everybody does. You tourists, you know, and then he goes, tourists. And then, what's the third one? I don't want to, should I look this up?
Because they always go
Temple
over the-
Temple of the Hidden Eye?
They always go over the bridge. The bridge shakes.
Forbidden Eye. Yes.
And then the ball always comes down. So from the Raiders, from the first Raiders movie, where you run away from the ball.
So scary.
Those two are always the same in both of them. But then other ones, you meet different bad guys. You meet different scary parts.
Oh, that is definitely, I know, like in the beginning. Okay, sorry, I just found the third one too. It's future knowledge. So basically, predicting the future, I guess. You would get that if you hadn't stared into the eye, which you always do. I feel like, there's the snake. I don't know which one. I've always thought they kind of merged at some point, but it's possible.
Right. It does feel like there's always a snake, even though snakes are a big one in Raiders. I feel like Temple of Doom had a lot of snakes. It might have had more spiders. I can't remember. I'm not a fan.
Yeah. Creepy centipedes.
There's always a subcrawly thing or slidey thing that I don't want to be party to.
No. I don't like either of those, slimy or crunchy.
So Indiana Jones, one of your faves, this Mickey's Runaway Railway.
Oh, yes.
Next time I go, I'm totally going on
that. A new fave.
That's a new fave.
You'll love it. I think it'll be worth it.
That sounds really cool. Because Rise of the Resistance was literally, I think, the coolest ride I've ever been on. Just because of that interaction.
I mean, that one is incredible.
Yeah. Just, it's a use of screens with holograms. And then live actors. Yes. And the first time I went on, the actors were actually, it's the only place in Disneyland where the cast members are stern. And
yeah.
And it was kind of creepy. There was like a weird ice vibe to it. It was truly, I was like, I'm actually uncomfortable. And then I got on the ride and I was like, this is the coolest. They're like, you're number twos stand over here. And you're like, remember this? Yellow, red, remember this? Blue. And there was a lot of bossiness. And you're like, I'm not used to that.
Yeah, I mean, that was a good impression. I feel like you could do that
work
too. Well,
there might be work for me. Sure.
Sure. I mean, why not? We could all take a turn. But no, it's hard work. Yeah, I definitely respect the commitment to the character that they bring. Even they're even mean to the children.
Right.
Which is part of the experience.
Right.
I would find that hard.
I actually found that not okay. And then the second.
Yeah, you're defending.
Right. I was like, wait, we're supposed to just be mean to the parents, which actually might be scarier for children. God knows. Who knows what's happening inside the mind of a child.
The mind.
We all go to therapy for 100 years to find out. Okay. So, yeah. So, did you ever go on the Tom Sawyer side?
Oh, Tom Sawyer Island. Probably once as a child, but I would say part of my identity with Disneyland is that a lot of it is to avoid certain places to maximize the time.
Okay.
So I'm like, Tom Sawyer Island, that's out. You know what I mean? I'm not sticking around for the parades.
Right.
We're going on the rides. While the children are distracted, you go on the rides, you know? No going to the bathroom. I mean, you can. You know, we used to bring our own food, of course. So it's like, you know, save money on food. Now I realize the food is oftentimes part of the experience.
That's right.
But yeah, Tom Sawyer Island, I mean, I know it's been kind of reclaimed.
Oh, did reimagined?
I think it's turning into something else.
Has it been reimagined?
Yeah. Reimagined. Yeah, I think it's in the process. I can't remember exactly what state it is in right now.
Okay.
But, you know, I think especially, for instance, some of these older, you know, the IP that's kind of fallen out of vogue certainly gets reimagined. So, like, you know, for sure, like
Pirates.
Pirates to look more like the movie. And then Splash Mountain, of course, to not be racist anymore. And then also Tiana, you know, to be more like Princess and the Frog, which is actually a property people like.
Yeah.
And then now, too, I know, then something that's resisted this is the Mr. Toad's Wild Ride, which is actually a family favorite.
Oh,
it's obviously been around for a while.
My sister, huge fan of Mr. Toad's Wild Ride.
What is
it again? It's based on a book, right? Or...
Yeah, Wind in the Willows, I think.
Okay.
Some book that has animals.
Right, it's anthropomorphic.
And the story of the ride is... Yeah, he's a toad who is a lawyer, I believe. he's a barrister, so I think it's in London. And in the ride, he kind of maybe has like a drinking problem or something because he eventually... is maybe drink at a bar, leaves a bar, crashes his car, then goes to hell. So it's an interesting story. Maybe doesn't fit as much into the Disney vibes as much anymore. But yeah, there's the hell at the end and you're hot and they turn off the heat and it's kind of nice on a cold day, you know?
Weird. And that's still there.
That's still there because they have tried. There's one in Disney World as well. They have tried to remove it and replace it with something more relevant, but there have been like people that come out to protest. This is their cause. They come out to
like,
sit-ins.
No, this creeped me out as a child. Please keep it. And because
I think the first time
I went there was weird because my cousins lived down in Huntington Beach and one of them had a boss who had a membership to that place in New Orleans Square where...
Oh, Club 33.
Club 33. Where, and in 1997... My stepmother came out and visited her sister and we all went to Disneyland and we went to Club 33 for dinner where you could have Chateaubriand.
Wow.
And an Amstel Light. I remember it to this day. Whoa. It was very, because you couldn't get an adult beverage in the Disney property.
Only place in Disneyland.
Yeah. And, though I understand if you stay at the Disney Hotel, you could get liquored up, go back to the hotel and then go. But I only know that because some comic was like, what kind of person can't not go to Disneyland sober? And I just wanted to go, an alcoholic? I don't think you understand the premise.
Right.
of alcoholism. it enhances everything.
There is a thing.
But they did get rid of the Peter Pan ride, right?
So they do have it still. And that's actually a wonderful ride.
I love that one. That was it's a swing as well.
It's really
well
done. Yeah, you're hanging in like a ship, like a flying ship, and how it is in Peter Pan, the movie. And I remember, I will say when I was a kid, I rode through it. It breaks down a lot. And I rode through it when it was broken down and all the lights were on. And so I kind of, the magic went away, but you know, it is a beautiful ride.
Right. You've been, how many times do you think you've been to Disneyland?
Oh, man.
Do you think double digits for sure?
It's probably like, I think double digits. Right. It might be in the
20, do you think?
20?
Or maybe 50? You think you've hit 50 yet?
I don't think I've hit
50. Right, 50 you would have to have been.
So I'm not quite as.
Right, it would have to be like four times a year. Like I have friends who have the annual pass
maybe
and they go.
Once.
Yeah.
Right, so, right. Yeah, then it would have been worth it to get an annual pass, but I've never had that. So I think, probably would be like once a year.
Right.
And then
you'll skip a year accidentally because life will take over. And
because life gets in the way of your Disneyland life.
I know it. Sierra Coteau. Yeah, Coteau. I did it.
Perfect.
Yes.
Perfect.
And it's at Sierra Coteau, Katow. And it's called Funt. And we're talking about Disneyland. And because I just want to keep talking about Disneyland, even though you have other dorkdoms. What else? So, like when you were a kid, there's Space Mountain. There's that thing with Michael Jackson. There's.
Yeah. Captain EO. Yeah.
They just got rid of that. I think I saw it right before they got rid of it.
Sure.
And I was like,
good.
This doesn't hold up, but it's interesting. And I understand where they're going.
It's a relic.
And, it's all right. I didn't hate it. But so you walk in and there's always the flowers and the Mickey flowers. And then there's Main Street and you can get a happy birthday pin if it's your birthday. And you can go and so you know what I've found at Disneyland? It's hard to get a cup of coffee. Have you thought about that? I'm going to have
a coffee. You know, the only place I remember finding coffee was California Adventure. They have a specific coffee cart where I think everybody congregates. And that is a big thing. They have a lot of Monster Energy now.
Oh.
That's kind of like the go-to
energy
thing, which I'm not, it seems kind
here's
of extreme,
what the, here's but. the only other coffee that I've been able to find. You can, I think in New Orleans land, which is probably not called that. You can get a cup of coffee with a donut, a beignet.
Yes.
Can go to Star Wars Land and you can get a cold brew with a chunk of cream cheese on top and Cocoa Puffs. Have you had that?
I did get that. I did have that. And you know what's going on crazy in Star Wars Land? They've got some amazing ice in those cold drinks. I don't know if you noticed, but like biting the ice is almost satisfying. It doesn't feel like regular ice. I almost feel like they froze sparkling water.
They might have. They might, because that, when I walk into, on Tatooine, of course, I walk in and I see that there's coffee. And I go, is it coffee? And the guy working the register goes, it's cold brew and it's got cream cheese and Cocoa Puffs on it. And it sounds disgusting, but I cannot tell you how delicious it is. And I was like, I desperately need some caffeine that isn't a Diet Coke. And he's like, I promise it's great. And it is great. It's beautiful.
So
and I don't know what it feels like dry ice. It feels like there's some sort of dry ice kind of situation. I have friends who have gone and they've built R2-D2, like they've built droids. And they built lightsabers, but you're pushing a grand if you.
That I worry about, you know, if I were to bring kids, whether that's my kids or I don't know, someone else's kids in the future, you know, it's hard to refuse. It's right. I mean, you know, I don't mean to bring rival park Universal Studios in, but for instance, they do a thing at Hogwarts over there where they have the kid get chosen by the wand, much like in Harry Potter. And then what do you got to buy the kid? $85 plus tax. Wand. You know,
it only works. I have
your
one.
Expensive
Hi,
day.
Thanks. And
good.
But you got to stand and you got to do it exactly. The motion detector is kind of not great. But the, I will say that, Universal is the best thing about Universal is the Harry Potter land. Sure. And just because they have that immersive feel that all of Disneyland has. The rest of Universal doesn't even have that vibe. It's unfortunate. I like Universal, but it is a very different experience. And of course, J.K. Rowling, whenever Hogwarts is brought up, you got to just say she's lost her goddamn mind.
And we do not condone.
It's a weird hill to die on, Joanna.
Yikes. Disappointing. But Disney, for sure, with the droids and the sabers, I mean, lightsabers,
you at least want to touch them. So Andy, he put on like an awesome uniform, like a Rebel Alliance uniform, and then held the helmet. Luckily, the helmets are child size, so he couldn't even buy one if he wanted one. But the coat was adult size, and he didn't want it. So I was like, well, I'm just going to take a picture of you holding those items, and then that'll be enough. And he was like, it's sort of like when instead of buying anybody presents anymore, I just take a picture of the thing I thought. And I was like, thinking of you, here's the thing you don't need. Maria Bamford.
That's the thought that counts.
Almost like if she got one more plushie, she'd be fine. Not getting another. Yeah. So, okay. So, Star Wars Land. Go ahead.
Yes. Oh yeah. Blue milk too. Blue and green milk. I don't know if you partook in that. It's really something. I am lactose intolerant, so, you know, I was a little worried, but it is all, I think, plant-based and or just definitely,
It's not milk?
I think it's coconut milk or something. Yeah, rice milk. I think it's rice milk. I looked up the recipe trying to emulate it, but it was too complicated to be worth it. But I think it's rice milk primarily, and you can go blue or green. Mm-hmm. Really great. Again, like you kind of think some of these, especially the ones based on something in the world, you're like, okay, well, they had to put this here because everybody talks about blue milk in Star Wars. And they always drink it. So they had to put it here. And then really they did such a good job with the recipe that it's like, it's actually really good. So that's also a fun one.
That's really cool. What are your other lands that you like or rides?
Oh yeah. I mean, it's always changing. I think I want to shout out, Pioneer or Frontierland.
Oh, interesting.
I love Thunder Mountain. It never fails. That used to be my favorite for a long time because I would say the line moves fast because they're loading up a full train, each time. And so it's fast. And you really, it's never really going above, I feel like, an hour. I don't know, maybe on the crowded days. I try to go on less crowded days, but it moves fast at least. There's also just, I feel like it's kind of central. So you can see New Orleans, you can see, you can move, you're always passing through it. So it's kind of maybe more of an interim area, but I've definitely eaten there and it's good. And just kind of more shout for Thunder Mountain than anything. And I actually went to Sedona recently for the first time. And I was like, hey, this is like Thunder Mountain. They based Sedona on Thunder Mountain.
Well, good for them.
No, it's of course the other way around.
It was like the third or fourth time I went when I, cause I have a friend who loves, she's Hawaiian, Allison Kalama, and she would like, she loves the Dole Whip tiki booth thing, which is, she's like, I know it's not, but I love it. And that's how she puts that. And, but here's the scoop.
It's good.
I had never had Dole Whip and I'm not a huge pineapple person, but it was fun to go once. And then it was fun. It was interesting to watch the parrots talk and sing. It's all that animatronic. It's like Chuck E. Cheese era of animatronics, though. That was the weird thing for me.
Yeah, I feel like I went into that. I haven't been in a while, that tiki room.
Yeah.
I can't. That's yeah, it. The proper name is all right. But it as a kid, yeah, I remember going and then like kind of being like, did I dream that? You know, because it's such a strange scenario and you're like,
it doesn't
that
feel like
happen,
it fits or? In with the rest of the vibe. Yeah, but it's kind of amazing. And then here's something that went away from Toontown that I am disappointed about, which is Roger Rabbit. I'm just always sad that they never leaned into a more Roger Rabbit vibe. There's just a couple of the taxi and the car. I don't know if those are still there, but those were my favorite because Roger Rabbit's one of my favorite movies. It doesn't have a bad scene, you guys. It's like Shawshank Redemption for children. Okay, so go ahead.
High praise. Yeah, I mean, I know the ride is still there because I think I went on it recently and it's like a twisting, you know, the twisting cab situation. But I think it's just that. Yeah, I think that's the only, even the wait is kind of cool. They have like, you know, it's some sort of the chemical,
the goo
of,
business.
Like, chemical company, bad guys. That one is. Yeah. That's prominent in the wait. So very cool. I feel like, let's say, back to the Dole Whip. I do want to say, big fan as well. I remember when Mouse Wait was a thing or whatever, the precursor app, that even like the only thing that had a wait that wasn't a ride was Dole Whip. Like that would even have like 19, 20 minutes, 25 minutes, you know, and now it has, you know, you have to make a reservation, but they've expanded to do, I think, not just pineapple. Now there's like mango,
strawberry,
other flavors. Yeah. And then I think you can add rum now. Wow. Like,
do they sell
like
booze?
Now that they've started serving alcohol? So they just started at Disneyland. They were always serving at California Adventure for a while, but they just started Disneyland. There was a big uproar. People were like, this is not Disneyland, you know, understandable, but hey, they got to make money. So
what? Someone has $12 that I want to, and here's a beer. So,
and some people can't get through the day. So let's make sure they can.
Yeah. what are your favorite restaurants? Or the favorite foods besides Dole Whip? Yeah.
Yeah. What do I like? Okay. Honestly, when I was younger, I used to love going into the Pizza Port or Pizza Planet
Main Street
one. That's in Tomorrowland. This one's in Tomorrowland, but it was like just the like picking up your tray and getting whatever food at the time. So I think it was just because we always used to bring food to Disneyland. It was like the first time I actually bought food at Disneyland. I was like, oh my God, this is amazing. But it's honestly one of the lower rated restaurants there or whatever food places. But I mean, according to the fans, but I, you know, that holds a special place in my heart. I think I just got like pasta, but it was good. And I, you know, everything is quite high, you know, quite good. I feel like, let's see, what are the, I mean, in California Adventure, oftentimes, let's see, I'd go to the light, what is it? The Lamplight Lounge, which is the Pixar lamp kind of theme lounge and restaurant and bar. It's kind of on the water near the pier. And that's nice because you can sit on near the water and like they have cool cocktails and stuff. So that was a good one.
Sorry, I had to yell at my dog. Gordy.
No worries.
get out of the garden. I planted yellow's crookneck squash for me. Please don't pee on it. And so there you go.
Squash.
Yes. There's not the patty pan. What are you, out of your mind? Go attack the eggplant. Okay. So, That's a good one. I always want there to be, like, I think I've tried the etouffee or the gumbo in New Orleans World and it's just okay.
Sure. They added Tiana's Kitchen somewhat recently and it was quite popular when I went. And I think they, you know, wanted to amp up the New Orleans, like, and specifically from her, you know, movie, Princess Tiana opens a restaurant at the end, spoiler. So, it's kind of supposed to be like her, you know, New Orleans restaurant food. And, I think we tried the gumbo. It was fine. You know, I feel like, maybe they improved the recipe a little bit and then, it was also like they have Yeah, they had like a variety of other things, but I think the gumbo was the
and the
thing
beignets.
To try. And also right. You know, beignets.
I know on Main Street, delicious. I usually go into that candy store, but it's usually a madhouse. And, but Andy and I, one time, I think the last time we went, we split a candied apple. Cause you always think a candied apple is a really good idea. And then you realize it's too much of a commitment. You know, you ever get a just dipped in caramel and you're like, I don't care this much.
Right. So did they slice it for you at least?
No.
Or do they?
Oh, right. That's then you're really just like then. Back and forth with a freaking apple on a stick. Yeah.
Oh yeah. That's crazy. Yeah.
We did
that
pretty
is
good.
Too much. That, yeah. I mean, cause I would never, I think if it weren't sliced.
Well, this I love. I love this attitude. It's very beautiful.
Yeah, no, I mean, you know, and so I respect your bravery,
you know, because you see
bite right in, because I think just it's already hard biting into
and they give you the paper that it sits on, so that helps to some extent, but it might have also been going to Disneyland with my husband Andy Ashcraft, a delightful human being, and a person who eats in moderation. Is not always my favorite thing because I would like to go to Disneyland with someone who doesn't eat in moderation, who is willing to eat until they get sick like they're a child.
Yeah.
So I think I was really hungry when I had the candy apple.
I mean, they do look so much better. You know what I mean? Like, because it's just, it looks like Disneyland and you're excited about it. And then, you know, there's the poison apple from Snow White, which is delicious.
I get why
she ate it. So shiny and and there's all different flavors and they're drizzled and good things. So, you know, I've definitely gotten like the Rice Krispie treats, things that are a little bit, less unwieldy, but they make everything look good. Yeah. Less work. I know. Seriously. And then, but I would say, speaking of going to Disneyland with your partner, I know like when I was first, dating my now fiance, so it worked out, but when we first went. You know, it was kind of a test, right? Because you're a little bit like, okay, are we going to be compatible? Because there's a lot of stuff you
could either travel or you could go to Disneyland.
Food being one. Right. And really put that relationship to a test. And, you know, a couple of fences right off the bat. He had to go to the bathroom right away, which I'm like, we got to be moving in. We're not going to Main Street bathroom. But it happened. And, you know, and then, you know, at some point, he did get his a contact stuck in his eyeball. So we had to go back to the parking lot and then adjust. And look, it worked out in the end, you know, testament to both of us for powering through tough times.
Right. If it was nice of him to give him a second chance.
I'm very charitable like that. So, you know, I keep my mind open.
Right. Contempt before. Yes. Examination. Not cool. What now? Do you have a favorite bathroom? Should we tell people? Don't worry about it. Not too many people listen to this podcast. So you're okay. You'll be a well-kept secret, by the way. Sierra.
That.
Kato.
Okay. Thank you.
And perfect. I did it. Kato. And it is KATOW. And the name of the special is Funt. And it's at sierracato.com. So thank you very much. There you go. So favorite bathroom. Got one?
Favorite bathroom. You know, lately I've enjoyed the Galaxy's Edge, the Star Wars bathroom, because they have a lot of stalls. It's pretty cool. The sinks are, you know, on theme.
Fun.
And the faucet comes out kind of like a little rusty pipe. And it's automatic. So you're like, you know, it's high tech, but it's low tech, you know? So I think that one was really,
I swear they stuck the landing on that.
The latest.
Yeah.
They did. Yeah. It's so cool. I think the bathrooms are no exception. And actually outside the bathroom I'm talking about, they have a water bottle refiller thing, you know, like a faucet where you can refill your reusable water bottle. Always bring water bottle to Disneyland. Cause then you don't have to pay for water. And there's like a tank thing, and in the tank, sometimes a creature will come out. It's very cool. Like like the tank is supposed to look like you're getting water from that tank and there's a creature swimming in the tank. Obviously it's all digital. It's fine. But it's very cool.
Very nice. Well done. I have to say that when I went to Star Wars Land, you should go to Rise of the Resistance last. Go to all of the different rides, especially the first time. I went to Rise of the Resistance and then I went to the Millennium Falcon. And it just was a disappointment. But if I had gone the other way, I would have loved Millennium, because Millennium Falcon's fine. It's lovely. It's not the Rise of the Resistance, which might be the greatest ride I've ever been on in my life. It's an amazing ride. Immersive and loose bumper car-y kind of vibe to it. You know, where you're on a sort of a free riding bumper car. Is that what Mickey's Runaway Railroad? Good.
Yes. Yeah. It's got that, you know, and what's fun, right, is like you can't see tracks. Right. So you're not really sure where you're going to go. And that makes it really exciting.
Fun. So, yes. So, okay. We have about 5-10 minutes left here. What have I co-opted? I've co-opted this episode. Yes. Yeah, so
Oh, no, this is wonderful. I mean, look, I've never been to Club 33. So the fact that you've been in there is pretty exciting and high above the,
right,
common
exactly. man. I let him eat cake, I said, as we sat in Club 33. And it was actually just like being in a nice restaurant. It wasn't as exciting as you think. Yes.
But wonderful. Yeah, let's see. What else? I mean, you know, Haunted Mansion has always been a favorite too. And I think one of the things about that one is it really moves fast. Again, the line moves fast. I went recently, I think maybe the last time I did go was fall last year, but it was around Halloween. Oh. And so everyone was getting, you know, spooky, like the hunger for the spookiness. And so Haunted Mansion during Halloween time it's amped up a little bit, but it's basically the same ride. But the line is so much longer because everybody's
Halloween.
Like,
now
it's Halloween.
Need to
I want to participate in Haunted Mansion.
What do you think?
Versus a regular.
Just like an April day. Here's my, loose question of Haunted Mansion, the way the line goes, you stand in line. And then all of a sudden you're bunched. It's chaos. It's no longer a line. What do you think about this? I know people with line anxiety who can't deal. They cannot deal with the fact that now it's bunched.
Right.
Because, I was ahead of that person.
Kinda. You know, yeah. Oh, no. I see what you mean. You know, I think oftentimes I'm so happy in. Because you get a little worried there. You're like, oh my God, what if they cut it off right before me? Right. And so then if you're in, you're like, oh, okay, phew. Of course, okay, say I've been at the beginning of that line. There's a little bit of that. And then it does turn into somewhat of a line after. But so I definitely see that frustration. I think if you are a seasoned, you know, Haunted Mansioner, like you kind of know where to stand and you're like, okay, well, this is actually the front because this is the one that opens.
Right.
But it's hard to know because I'm not always right. So I think I'm like, oh, this is the front. And then it'll be like, shoot, it was right over there. So I think to remedy that, you try to position yourself where the next thing opens and then you get in front there.
Oh, that's awesome.
And then, you know, it turns kind of into a line again, but like move fast at that next stage because people are, they're looking at the paintings. Oh, the painting's following you. No, just keep moving. You know, I've seen it before. Let's get to the front and then get in your doom buggy, as they call it.
Doom
buggies.
Doom. So, okay. Haunted Mansion. What else you got?
It's a good one. Let's see. I mean, we could hop on over to California Adventure. I got to say that Mickey's Sun Wheel, which is the big Ferris wheel that kind of is where, you know, again, it used to be California Adventure. So it used to be more of like Santa Monica Pier. Here's a Ferris wheel on the beach. And then it's turned into Mickey. They put Mickey on it and now it's Mickey's whatever thing. Most intense ride you will ever go on because of the sliding. If you get on one of the sliding cars, it slides down and swings at every kind of rotation. You know, and there's some that are just on the perimeter or on the diameter or whatever, the circumference. And then some that slide. I've been in the sliding one before and it is, you don't have you're just in a loose thing. So I think the lack of seatbelt, it just is intense. It's like swinging ship times 10 and on repeat. And I remember when I went with a friend, it was me and a friend. We were not sure that we were getting into that kind of situation. And then they let on like a single man with us too. So it was like us as, you know, kids and then like a single man, because there's a single rider line there. And so we were like screaming and freaking out. And then that man was just
And then you'd squash him.
And then he would squash us.
And then you would.
The single man.
Because it is a giant Ferris wheel.
Great quality time.
It's just some stranger.
Yes.
Ferris wheel. I always have a hard time with the Ferris wheel because they stop. And I'm not great with heights. That's why I like the rocket ship. Not too high. I also enjoy Dumbo.
Two great picks.
All right. Yes. I do feel like I've co-opted your Disneyland chitter chat. So is there anything else? You got a couple minutes
this
to.
Is great.
Yeah.
I learned lots. I just don't want to disappoint people who are also big fans. I know it's got a large
fan base.
But, you know, I tried to cover what I, you know, specific things I like. Incredicoaster is great as well. Just little things and quirks. But I just think it's, you know, I'll say it. I've never been to Disney World. So I'm a hardcore Disneyland person. But
Disney World is kind of amazing. I went there once.
Disney World.
And they have like a wildlife world that where they take that Disney vibe.
Animal Kingdom.
Of creating a story. And then there is a lion. So that's crazy. Okay. Yeah, there's an actual
real
tiger.
One, yeah.
And but it's the ruins for the tiger thing are like on Angkor Wat from Cambodia. And then all of a sudden,
oh, cool.
There's a tiger.
Yeah.
And you're like, what a great, horrible, great marketing, amazing applause, golf clap. You know? And I really hope the tiger is at least pleased at some point.
Sure.
Yeah, it's all we can hope. To some extent. And I don't know. Next time I'll have you on. We'll talk Neopets. We'll talk whatever. Did you ever play a game called The Darkest Fairy? Because Andy made that. PS2.
Yeah. I know what it is. But no, I don't think I had a PlayStation at the time or whatever. So, I got it. That's very cool.
Yeah,
the fact that he was
game.
A part of that is
big
lore.
Right. He's got cred. He's amazing. Got a lot of cred. Sierra Kato, let me just say this, that I'm going to be saying your name in my sleep in an effort to say Kation Kato. And it's Sierra Kato.
Amazing.
And it's called Funt. And it's at sierracato.com and at sierracato on everything. So thank you so much for doing the show. Super fun.
Thank you. So fun. I mean, it's an honor. And I love to always talk Disneyland. I mean, well, like, I got to go again soon, apparently.
Same. Now
it's
you make me want to go. And tomorrow my Universal things runs out. So I might have to renew that too. I might go tonight.
Oh, shoot.
To go get pumpkin.
You got to go now.
Thing. All right.
Yeah.
And
get another
I'm
going
to hang up. Rangers, you know the rules out there. Okay. Take care of each other.
Hi, Adal. How was the show?
Well, it was a really fun one. My hair is poofy. Hello, poofy hair. Andy Ashcraft, let me tell you about the show. It was a good one, The Dork Forest. It was with Sierra Kato. And I have to tell you, Kato. There we go. I spent a good portion of the show thinking, am I pronouncing her name right? She was such a nice, she's one of the younger comics, right? She's a really funny comic. And she has a new special out called Funt. F-U-N-T. Guess what? Yes. Guess what it isn't? She couldn't call it.
I get it.
Yep. So Kato.
Can't call it the C word. Can't use that as a.
No. So she calls it Funt. F-U-N-T.
Funt. Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. Her dorkdom. By the way, she kind of wanted to talk about Neopets.
Oh.
But she didn't think she could do a whole hour on it. So.
Oh, okay. Virtual pets in general, or
she could
have it out.
We could have done it. She was pretty impressed that you did work on The Darkest Fairy out for the PS2.
I did
for Neopets,
for a brief moment,
a shining moment. But we ended up talking for the hour about Disneyland, which makes me want to go to Disneyland so hard right now.
So you're making plans to go to Disneyland.
I might go to Disneyland. I want to go with you, but you have been in the last year, and you're good.
I'm all right for this year, I think.
Yeah.
I don't know. Once we get closer to it, you might convince me to go as well.
Interesting. Interesting.
Interesting. Interesting.
Okay. So she is from, she's not, she was like, I said, so you're from here, so you know a lot, like L.A. area. And she's like, yeah, but not Orange County. My cousins are from Orange County. They would just go. They would just take the bus and go.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. People in Orange County, people who live nearby, just go.
They just go. And
they just go.
She grew up
They get season passes, and they just go whenever they want.
Now, she doesn't even have a season pass.
Oh, that's expensive then, to just go.
Right. But she finds the season pass to be more expensive and too many blackout dates.
Oh, I see.
So, but she said that there's a thing, like she likes to do, she has plans when she goes, she likes to go before the rope dropping. She says it's called the rope dropping.
What is that?
When, That's when you park and you're one of the first people to park because they've just dropped the rope.
Oh, I see. Okay.
To let you in.
Okay.
And
she likes to be right outside when they release people into the park.
Yep. Yep. And she likes to start early. And she's like, there are bathrooms. She said she's, I believe, engaged.
Okay.
It's been a couple of days since I recorded, but she said when they went, she said, it wasn't great. He's not from here. He had never been. So we go to Disneyland.
Well, that's perfect. How is that not great?
Well, he did things. He had been, but he didn't do things. She has a certain plan. She's a dorkdom about Disneyland. So she's like, you can't just go in and use the bathroom right away. What are you, nuts? And she's like, I don't have time for parades.
It's fun to hold it. What? No.
She's like, of course you can go to the bathroom. She's like, but I was like, she's like, we got to go quick. We got to do everything before the kids get involved. And she was talking about the lightning app and the way you got to add, you know, it's an expensive thing. And she likes,
that is true.
Right. Her new favorite ride, one of her new favorite rides is Mickey's Runaway Railway.
Right. That's the new one, right?
It's a new one. We just found out from your cousin that there's never been a ride named after Mickey Mouse before.
Or that he's in, like that he's that he's like a main character in a ride, which is
this is
fascinating to me. I would never have guessed that.
Right. Isn't that crazy?
Yeah.
And so she loves Mickey's Runaway Railroad.
Arguably the big Ferris wheel when it was Paradise Cove.
Yeah.
Or Paradise Pier. That had a big Mickey Mouse on it.
It still does.
So,
that feels like a Mickey Mouse ride, doesn't it?
Yes. That feels like a Mickey Mouse. If it's got a giant 15, 20 foot tall Mickey Mouse head on it,
right.
That's a Mickey Mouse ride.
She said one of her favorite rides that is not that people have protested and then people have protested to get back is Mr. Toad's Wild Ride.
Oh, yeah. My favorite.
Your favorite?
Yeah. Because you go to hell in Disneyland.
It's weird. It's a weird, and I told her that I had been to the 33 thing with my cousins.
Oh, yeah.
And she loves the Haunted Mansion. She loves Mr. Toad's Wild Ride, Mickey's Runaway Railway, Cars, Indiana Jones.
Oh, yeah. All the good ones. They're all great.
Rise of the Resistance.
And
so,
of course, that one's amazing. It's spectacular.
Right. And yeah, and she told me about a favorite bathroom, and that might be around minute 55. So you guys go back and listen to minute 55.
So you've got to. So what you're saying is, if we're listening to the episode, you got to listen all the way to the end before you can go to the bathroom.
I wrote it down, minute 49:45. But remember that there's always like the song and the intro.
Right.
So you'll have to add about 3 or 4 minutes to that. But
right.
It was a great episode. And I mean, it does the thing that last week's episode, I bought a Ralph Lauren thing.
Oh, yeah.
This episode,
that's right.
I want to go to Disneyland.
Too.
Right. I got to make sure the buttons, because it kept coming unbuttoned.
So basically what you're doing is you're interviewing people who are becoming influencers and they're influencing you.
Right. This is the slowest influence ride ever. One at a time. Come
One
on the Dork Forest.
At a time. That's awesome. Sounds great.
Thanks, you guys. And you know the rules out there. Take care of each other.
My hat, my hat, my hat. They're dancing around my hat. My hat, my hat, my hat. Well, what do you think of that? If it looks like a Mexican hat dance and it sounds like a Mexican hat dance, it's most likely a Mexican hat dance. So take off your hat and let's dance.
Yay! Oh, my God. Why don't we just call that as the end of the show?